And now, Brad Holland will introduce our speaker.
Morning, everybody. So our speaker this morning is David Meglin, who is a Vice President of Media and Digital Services and a principal at Strategic America. Dave is a native of Ohio and was recruited by Strategic America to come here to Iowa. He has a wife and a son and a daughter, son at Roosevelt, daughter at University of Iowa. Dave has over 30 years of marketing and communication and management experience, working with over 200 national and local brands. He's also a steadfast volunteer with organizations including the Friends of Iowa CASA as a board member, Iowa Stage Theater Company as an executive board member, Polk County Democrats Communication Chair, the New Leaders Council as an advisor, and the United Way of Central Iowa as a volunteer and donor. He's also a member of the Board of Trustees for Broadlands Medical Center. On a personal note, I served as the president of Stage West, and when a major merger between Stage West and Iowa Stage was going on, Dave had the wisdom to reach out, seek advisory counsel, including myself, and it really showed, I think, a lot of wisdom and showed that he had a lot of heart and passion for the organizations in which he serves. Classy guy. Over the course of the last 5 years, David has invested some considerable energy into seeing and visiting all incorporated towns and cities in the state of Iowa, and completed that in July of last year, where he checked off his last town, West Bend. Without further messages from me, let's hear the incredible messages about his perspectives on Iowa. David, please come on up.
Well, thank you very much. I'm going to just have this up here so I can not have to keep looking over my shoulder. But thanks for having me. I see a lot of familiar faces in this room and from theater and politics. And is this mic in front of my face? I just want to be sure. Okay. And actually, Brad, it was Stage West and RTI, for those that remember the good old days of theater in our community. So, and it was quite an experience to go through, I can tell you that. So, well, the theme today is going to be collaborate to celebrate, all right? And you're going to understand what I mean by that at the end of the presentation, I hope. And I hope, because I've been preparing for this presentation, Jonathan invited me to speak with you back in September was the first email correspondence. And so I started working on this presentation immediately. So it's 7 months in the making, and I'm excited. So without further ado, go to the next slide if you don't mind. I am Dave Meglin, for those that do not know me. 33 years in marketing communications. I have worked for Strategic America since I came to Des Moines in 2013. And I moved here from Atlanta, and I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio, but I moved after 18 years in Atlanta where I had my family and life was really well down there. I worked for Monster.com, if anybody remembers that name. So I was there for 15 years, and Mike Schreers, the chairman of our company, he took me to lunch one time at Panera Bread and sat me down, and when I got there, there was a ham sandwich waiting for me. And I was like, I'm glad he picked my lunch for me. And it was sitting there. He said, well, I'm kind of late for a plane, so I'm going to get right to the point. What will it take to bring you to Des Moines, Iowa? And that's how it happened. We'd known each other for about 2 or 3 years prior to that. And he had just kind of grown, happy with the work he's seen out of me, because we collaborated on a couple projects, and that's how I came to Iowa. My only regret was when I told him what it would take to bring me to Iowa, he took my very first offer. Damn. As you can see, as Brad had mentioned, I'm on a number of boards in our community. The most prominent one, the one that takes probably the most amount of time for me, is, of course, Broadlands. It is, in effect, you're running for this position, but you get paid nothing. You're running on your own nickel, right? It's not quite the Board of Supervisors, but it's still just as much fun. And I think it's very rewarding work. And I'm going to talk more about that in a second. And then, you know, this on the side here, you can see last year I was voted and selected as one of 21 business leaders making a difference in Des Moines, Iowa, according to CityView. And they did not tell me who nominated me, but they said I had multiple nominations, which I was flattered by. Obviously, anybody would be, right? But they said, well, when Duffy draws you, you know you've made it in Iowa. So I don't know if you guys can pick me out in that drawing, but I'm the one underneath the zero in 2021. So I don't know. Does it look like me? Anyway. Yeah. Yeah, so I was pretty happy about it. Next slide. And as Brad mentioned, I did take on my own initiative. I spent 5 years traveling the entire state of Iowa. I went to see all 942 incorporated cities, plus I saw 30 unincorporated cities. So an unincorporated city is something like Farrar, right? I even went to like little, really little towns that that are now called populous places. These are some examples of what I did. And if you can't see it over here, you can see I took a picture in front of the welcome sign or a water tower or a post office, whatever had the name of the city on it. There was one city that had no name, right? Galt. Galt. Galt is up by Clear Lake. If you kind of travel west from Clear Lake and head out, you will run in past Britt. You're going to run into Galt. And literally I had to have, I got out of my car. I'm looking all over for a sign, couldn't find anything, not even a sticker. And so I saw a woman sitting on her front porch. Oh, thank you. I saw a woman sitting on her front porch and I just asked her, I know this is going to sound weird, but would you take a picture of me in the middle of your square here and just take a picture? She's like, what the hell is this guy? So I did. And she did take the picture and I do have it. So it's all documented. And people ask, why did I do this? Right. Number one question I had was, are you running for governor? That was truly the note. I got that question so many times. And I'll be honest with you, I'm starting to think about it. But in all honesty, I did it because one, I heard of the 99 County Grassley Tour and all that stuff. I thought anybody could do that. How long would it take me to do every single city? And I usually went out on a Friday, Saturday, or a Sunday. So I did it always on my weekends. And I will tell you that I really learned a lot because at that time, I could already see the division in our own state. And I do feel very much like an Iowan. I really do. And it pains me when I see that we are not able to just kind of get past some of the crap that we deal with and personality issues. And just because you like blue and I like red, or I like blue and you like red, shouldn't matter. We're still people and we still care about this state. And there were some fundamental things that I felt like we needed to understand. So I went out and I would meet with people in each of the communities and sit down with anybody that I could find. Now, some cities, I couldn't find a soul. I literally couldn't find a soul. But I wasn't going to walk up to the trailer. It was like, I'll just keep going. But I did learn a lot. And that's probably another presentation. But this is what I did. And if we could go to the next slide. I am on Broadlands, and I'm going to share with you a little bit about Broadlands. Since Jonathan told me I could talk about anything, I'm going to talk about everything. Okay. A little bit of everything, not all focused on Broadlands, but I'm very, very proud of being on Broadlands. And I want to thank probably many of you in this room who voted for me in the election, but then I didn't win the election. You might recall, I actually lost the election, came in third, and then 36 hours later, voila, a seat became available. How'd that happen? You know, only in politics, right, Matt? So what happened after that was a letter writing campaign took place. of citizens writing in to the board members and to the administration demanding that seat be appointed to me. And even though I had to go through a process to get there, I will tell you, your letter writing campaigns, whoever wrote one or voiced their concern, had an impact. It made a difference because it was done. And by January, I was sworn in as a trustee on Broadlands. And today, I'm the vice chair of the board. So, and next year, the plan is I'll be the chair of the board. So all because of people change, and I appreciate it. Some of the change that you're going to see in the progress we're making here, I'll just quickly go through them. And you can see here a graphic. That building doesn't exist yet, but it will. That's going to be the Drake Community Clinic that will be located at the corner of 29th and University, directly across the street from Drake University, next to Walgreens. So that open lot that's there right now, pretty soon you're going to see that. And we're going to start construction on that this summer. I'm excited about it. We were at a kind of an announcement ceremony, and it was really, I advocated strongly for it. As soon as I got on the board, everybody was telling me about it. And I had to get some questions answered, as any official should. But I got them answered, and I was satisfied. One of the other huge accomplishments I think we all would agree in our community is mental health is a crisis. We still have a crisis. We've always had a focus on adult crisis in mental health, but adolescents too, you know, now more than ever. Suicide rates are up. It's fourth leading cause of death for kids that are 15 to 19 years old, suicide, all right? Very, very sad. And so, you know, getting a collaborative environment with the PD, the Des Moines Police Department, we're working with them in helping them with dispatch. I worked closely with Amos to, I don't know if any of you are also affiliate with Amos, but you know that they care deeply about this issue for a lot of reasons. And so my goal was to collaborate and try and start making an impact in our community on this important topic, because all of us, including my own family, have issues where mental health is a crisis with people. And I remember when we were running, Matt, you and I talked on one of your video cabs, casts, and talked about mental health, and it's always been a priority issue. And so it will continue to be so with Broadlands. I know the third bullet point here is the sobering center. We are talking. This is a discussion that's taking place right now with Polk County as well as City of Des Moines. We all want to kind of address this issue of providing a sobering center. Our only concern with Broadlands, we surveyed the staff and they just didn't want it in the hospital. So we're going to be working with supervisors and also with the city. Connie Bozen and I just had this conversation to try and figure out where can this be. We're only talking 1,200 square feet. So I think that this can get done and then provide the services. Broadlands would provide the services and care. So this is ongoing. And I promise you, this time next year, if you invite me back, I'll be reporting that this has been handled and we are going to have this thing locked down. Expanded our surgical center. We're finishing the bike trail that goes near the rowing area for Drake. We're going to finish that bike trail and we're going to create a path that's ADA compliant as well from the bike trail to the hospital. It'll come through the backside of the hospital by the medical center so that patients, guests, ourselves, our staff can go out and have a mental break in nature, which is one of the most refreshing things you can do. I urge everybody to get up out of their chairs and go out and enjoy the fresh air when we have it again. I don't know. And then finally, I don't know, a major thing we did this year was hire a new CEO. Wasn't expecting that to happen on my very first, as soon as I got sworn in. Oh, by the way, CEO of 15 years is retiring. I was like, oh, great. Wonderful. You know, so, but most people know I grab the bull by the horns, and I led the committee to the search committee that worked with a third party search consultant to find our new CEO. We interviewed 40 candidates. We looked at 40 candidates, interviewed 7, and then brought in two. We were intending to bring in a third, but that woman withdrew from consideration. She didn't want to kind of let the boss know that she was being considered for a CEO position. Blown opportunity, if you ask me. Because Tony Coleman, though, is the perfect guy for the job. He's fabulous. And one day, I hope, I would love it if you guys would invite him here. I think you'd learn a lot about what his plans are for our community. And they are really fabulous. So, great guy. Next slide. But while we're at it, let's talk about dementia and Alzheimer's. I don't know, by show of hands, how many in this room have family members or associates or anybody you know who has suffered from dementia or Alzheimer's. See that? That's for those on camera, that's just about everybody in the room. And I do too. If we could go to the next slide. Alzheimer's is a growing problem. It's a growing crisis. It's always been a crisis, but it's growing in our state. By 2025, they expect an 11% increase in deaths and people inflicted with Alzheimer's. If we could go to the next slide real fast. It impacts everybody. This slide basically tells you, doesn't matter what your nationality is, doesn't matter what color you are, doesn't matter your gender, none of that matters. Every single person is susceptible to this, and there is no cure yet. I've seen people, and I've done a lot of research on this since I've been advocating for what I'm about to share with you, where I've seen people who have died at the age of 45, and they died of Alzheimer's, which means, since there are seven stages to Alzheimer's, and it usually has a progression, it can range based on your genetics between 6 to 8, maybe 10 years, right? That means that person was inflicted in their late 30s with Alzheimer's. So it's a terrible disease. It's awful for everybody, including the people who are caring for these people. All right, so next slide. So I felt strongly, Dr. Shaw, we were talking about Dr. Shaw earlier. When I was appointed to the position in January, by February, Dr. Shaw asked if I would come to a meeting with Ed Kinney, if anybody knows Ed Kinney from LCS Foundation, and Dottie Thurston. Stan Thurston was her husband, who died of Alzheimer's in December of last year. They invited me to a private sit down, and they just wanted to share with me Dottie's story, which is the story of so many others. And they also wanted to just share with me something that they had pitched, and it was kind of declined. It's kind of getting outside of our wheelhouse of Broadlands. And it was basically what we call now a brain health and memory care center. It was a one-stop shop. Think of it that way. One-stop shop for all treatment and advice and counsel that you would need. Instead of having to go around the city and visit this location over here for this kind of treatment, then you got to go over here and, oh, hey, caregiver, you probably need therapy too. So we're going to hook you up with 515 over here. Holy smokes. It's already stressful enough for the caregiver to have to care for this individual that they love and they see them slipping away. So what we wanted to do was provide a facility in which you will come to, and you will have a caseworker that knows where you're at, understands not only the patient's needs, but also the therapy needs and the other needs that you might need as a caregiver. This is going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal opportunity. If you could go to the next slide. Remember, who will it help? It helps everybody in this situation. The patient, of course, is going to get the care that they need. And by the way, while there is no cure, there are ways in which, if we can diagnose it early enough, you can push off this disease where it's not going to be on fast track. All right. So there's treatments where, and it's all based on things that you put into your body. You know, it's amazing. They're not kidding. When we grew up, everybody telling you, eat your greens, eat your greens. I'm promising you, it's going to do you a world of good, and it's going to help you live a longer, healthier life. But these are things that we would give to each individual and show them. I saw the technology where an MRI can be performed on a child, right? And they can show, especially if there's a genetic history of Alzheimer's, right? Where they can determine, will this person have a likeliness of having Alzheimer's and dementia? If so, these are things you can do throughout your lifetime to push it off, not necessarily prevent it yet. We're not there yet, but it can delay it. And if you can give somebody back, you know, 10 years of quality living, isn't that worth it? I think so, right? We need to know that. And then finally, the caregiver, the training, the support they need, the therapy, the transition of care, right? When they go from, you know, and my father-in-law is going through this right now where the family is at wit's end because, of course, he doesn't know things. He can't remember things. It's aggravating. It's irritating. It's all those things. It's stressful and it's scary. Okay. It's very scary. So we're going to be working with the caregiver to help them through this process because it's a scary process for everybody. Next slide. This is where we're going to locate it. There you go. So this is Urbandale. All right. So if you were coming off of, you know, this is the loop, there's our new, you know, spaghetti junction is what I call it. The overpass there at 141 heading out to Grimes is off to the left. So this is going to be 86 and 100. If you were driving by it now, you would see Delta Dental here. You would see John Deere over there. We are going to be right in that plot of land. If you could go to the next slide. And this is, oh, shoot, I was going to show you something else. So sorry, I've done these presentations so many times, but we will have two buildings on that property. Now, this is not, I will tell you, this is not formally approved by the board yet. So I'm talking about things that are still to be voted on, but I can promise you we are moving in that direction. We are very committed to this. We just got to work out the financials. Obviously, we got to be good stewards, and there's going to be some possible collaboration with others on this. So more to come. I'm excited about it enough to tell you about it. And everything I've shared with you so far has been publicly disclosed in our open meetings. So again, this is a center for treatment, education. It's a center for early detection and prevention one day. We'd like to have clinical trials there. We want to have guest speakers come from all over the country. Imagine the World Food Prize for a second. Think of the World Food Prize for dementia and Alzheimer's. You're going to have people from all over the world coming to Des Moines, Iowa to address this issue, right? Caregiver support, coordination, transition, and finally outreach and helping people. All right. So next slide. Broadlands is working with individuals. I shared with you a lot of the stuff that Broadlands is doing, right? But we did not do it by ourselves. It's not Broadlands way or the highway. Okay. And that's one thing I was passionate about when I ran, and I still am passionate about as a board member, is I believe strongly in collaboration. We collaborate with the city of Des Moines Parks and Recs for the trails. We're working with Polk County government on a number of things, mental health, and some of the other services you're seeing here. Drake, obviously, with the clinic there. LCS Foundation with the Alzheimer's Dementia Clinic, and there's more to talk about down the road. All these things add up to getting things done when we work together, right? We all agree that it's probably easier to get things done when you have a partner to do it with. That's how it works in my house. So collaboration, if we could go to the next slide. Alone, we can do so much together, or alone, we can do so little. Together, we can do so much. That's Helen Keller. All right. And I strongly believe that to be a true statement. All right. Now, where have we seen examples of this in our community before? Next slide. Well, we see it happening all around us, right? Take a look at the windmills when you're driving out in, when you guys try and take me on and go see all the cities. Since I've already done it, you guys got to catch up to me. Go out and see them and see that Mid-American working with local farmers to put in clean energy, which we all benefit from. Take a look at downtown. Look at that beautiful picture of downtown. Remember how many people have lived here, you know, 20 years or more, right? Anybody remember what downtown used to look like? Anybody? Yeah, right? Well, that view didn't look like that, right? Used to be car lots and all of this other stuff and a lot of activity that was undesirable to go to. Nobody wanted to go downtown. Now people do. families. I see families. I get my hair cut at Mark Stevens. So I watch people across in the park all the time. And I see people all the time, out of towners, getting pictures in front of the love sign or the alphabet man, all that stuff. It's fabulous. City and local employers did that together. Okay. Icon water trails and the counties that surround these waters, right? That's the latest thing that's happening. And by the way, Strategic America is the advertising agency that created their website, created the brand for Icon Water Trails. Well, that's going to be a fabulous addition to our community. Now, if they only clean the water, that would even be better. But collaboration is what makes it work. Next slide. And time is ticking, folks. Time is ticking. I'm a big rock music guy. Okay, so I'll quote the Stones. And I was probably sitting in shock Saturday morning when Taylor Hawkins passed away from the Foo Fighters, who I absolutely loved. Still, it's kind of hard to even believe. But I love this song from the Rolling Stones. Time waits for no one, and it won't wait for me. No matter how much money you have, no matter how healthy you think you are, and I tried and be healthy, but your time is going to be defined in this world. All right. And not to get morbid on you, but I want to impress this on you because a lot of people need reminders of this. Next slide. The average lifespan of Americans today is 78.79 years. For men, it's less, 76 years. For women, it's 81. All right. Now, there's a lot. I showed Canada and UK on there just to show, hey, there are things you can do in your diet and all those things to make those lines go up. But the point is, there is a defined amount of time to do what it is that you need to do. All of us have a role here. All of us have a way of giving back to our communities, whether it's in public service or private service. If we could go to the next slide. So the question I have for you, and I leave this with you, is, next slide, how are you going to use that remaining time you have left? Okay. It's short. And it's just like if there's any parents in the room, and I know there are, everybody says, gosh, the kids grew up so fast. It went so quick. It did. And your life is going quick. I can't believe it's April. I can't believe it's April 2022. Okay. So how are we going to use our remaining time? Next question. What issues are most concerning to you? You know, for me, I cared enough about certain healthcare policies, and there were a lot. I am very diverse in my interests, right? Political interests or, you know, personal interests. But I decided to run for Broadlands because I felt like, okay, healthcare is something that we really need somebody who is going to be the bull in the china shop, but try and work to get things done because I'm not going to be able to ramrod my point of view down everybody's throat. But I'm going to try and make a case for moving forward on certain issues, okay? But I'd ask you the same question. What's the most concerning issues to you? All of us have different opinions. Answer it, and let's get started. And last question, who shares that concern, and how can you collaborate with them, okay? That's one of the reasons why I traveled around Iowa. I know how divided this state is, and I know there's a lot of people out there that just – I look at them when they're walking at me with their 2024 hats. You know what I'm talking about. And I can't stand them. But I remember when I was in the second to last city I visited was Rock Falls, Iowa. Anybody know where Rock Falls, Iowa is? Okay. Yeah. So near Mason City for anybody that doesn't know where it is. And I drove all the way up there because I realized I've been driving all the way around the city and I didn't even know it was there. Okay. Didn't show up on my map. And I was like plotting it. That's how I was able to do it in 5 years, as you plot your route and you're very careful about where you drive. Right. And all this time I hit everything around it, except I missed that one. Damn it. So I had to I remember going up, it was a holiday weekend. I went up to Rock Falls just to get one picture. It's a 2-hour drive up there. And then I had to drive back. But when I was getting that picture, everybody was looking out at me through the bar because the welcome sign is right in the square where a bar is. And I saw him. And of course, I'm sitting there and I'm like getting the picture. And I had a tripod because my wife said, I'm not going just to get a picture. Sorry, you're doing that one on your own. But I did. And then I walked into the bar because no sense in avoiding it. And it was almost like walking in like quiet. And I go, so I bet all of you guys are wondering what I'm doing out here. I just announced it right in the middle of the bar. And everybody looked at me and I'm talking a rough looking crowd, but in a lot of the hats that I just said, but I told them what I was doing. And they invited me up to the bar and they bought me a beer and bought me lunch, made me a hamburger and fries, and wanted to spend an hour with me talking about what I was learning and what I saw. It was wonderful. And when I talked to the gentleman, the one gentleman that was obvious, he said right away, you know, I'm a big fan of the governor and all that stuff. And I'm like, great, great. And I told him about broad lawns and mental health. And then I told him about the Alzheimer's Center. And he said, you know what? I'm dealing with that too. And we started talking for 20 minutes about Alzheimer's and dementia and what his family is going through. And what right then and there, I knew we are people. We might have our differences. We have our problems with each other, but we are still people that want to see something done on certain issues. And I think we can work on them. So when you help identify those things, it's important. Go to the next slide. Back in January, I don't know if any of you know who this gentleman is, but this is Kevin Ward, the former mayor of Hyattsville, Maryland. He committed suicide. He was their first gay mayor, and he died at 44 years old. His quote was, "We must not look outside for the answers because I know where the answers are. What we need to do is bring ourselves together. What we need to do is remember that we are repairers of the breach." I believe that. And I believe all of us can be that conduit to change, good change that impacts everybody. It's healthy. It's rewarding to you personally. And when they write our final lines about each other, we're going to be able to write something in there that we made a difference. We made a difference. Thank you for inviting me this morning. I appreciate all you guys do. I know how important this organization is, and thanks for the leadership, and I appreciate your support. Have a good day.
Can I take questions?
Are there? I didn't know if you'd take questions or not. Okay. Questions if you have them. Yes.
Mm-hmm. One of the biggest problems I found as a caregiver for the last year was finding respite care or some place that you could go for a few hours to provide time. That's something I found that there's very few services for.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to find anybody to provide that type of break or care while you need to do those things.
Yeah. And you know what? That's one of the things that we are considering in this development. There's the slide that what I forgot to put in the deck that should be showed the actual property. And there's going to be a lake there. It's not a clinic in the traditional sense of a sterile environment. And you feel like it's healthcare the moment you walk in. It's going to feel very welcoming, warm, comforting, peaceful. And we're going to have a facility where the actual patient will be able to get their treatment and be taken care of while the caregiver gets a break. They get counsel. They get to talk in therapy sessions with people who are going, because oftentimes, no matter what kind of battles you deal with, it's rewarding when you can talk to people who understand what you're going through because they're going through it too. So we are going to be working with those organizations. LCS is one of our partners because we want to think about the standpoint. There's treatment and then there's long-term care, right? We're not going to create housing at Broadlawns. That's not our role, right? But we are going to partner with other people who do that kind of work. And we're going to try and make more housing available and all types of care. So Yeah, it's something we care about. The entire cycle that somebody has to go through, it's important. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are you aware of that, or is that still the case? And what about the number of nursing care facilities in the state? Just run across them everywhere when you.
I did, and I what I found is there's wherever there was a local hospital, it seemed like all the other services that are available, assisted living, long term care, things like that, they were stronger in those communities. I take Ida Grove as an example. You know, that's a community that's kind of hard to reach. But when you get there, you're surprised how vibrant the community is. And they have a very vibrant regional hospital, which, as you know, if you're reading the news, you see that healthcare facilities are closing in masses in our state. And it's a problem. And we've also got to get people who are willing to work in those communities in the healthcare profession. So we got to get them trained. So one of the initiatives that Broadlands is taking on is creating fellowship programs where we train people at Broadlands with a commitment, and we'll even help them on funding that education with their commitment, similar to Peace Corps. You go into these communities for 2 years and you help build strong, healthy communities. We're starting with OBs as well. Oftentimes women in these rural markets have to travel as much as 2 hours to find an OB. And if they're pregnant and they need to be checked on and have that baby be monitored, as you know, that's a very scary proposition. And I think, I think that's an issue that should be nonpartisan. I've talked to legislators, when Broadlands had its, legislative breakfast recently up at the Hill State House, and even the Republicans, they agree. And these are, you know, many of them are the legislators for those markets. And they're like, Broadlands, come on out. We'd welcome you. So I do believe that that's something we can work on. Now, the bigger picture is workforce development in our state. As you know, we are seeing a very flat line. I attended a workforce session in which actually Liz had coordinated with Ron Cox from ISU. He's a professor up there and he knows everything about Iowa, trust me. And he showed that the population size has not changed since 1950. Okay. And contrary to pop, we might not understand that because we see development popping up all over here, but 68 other counties out of 99 are shrinking in population size and they're losing their services and they can't have even the basics. Most of the communities I went through, the only thing left was a bar and maybe a community center. And sometimes you'd find an antique shop, which is why my wife traveled with me on most of those trips. So she liked the antiquing. So that's the reality of Iowa today. And we've got to work together to solve it. Yeah. Go ahead.
One more question.
Sure.
In regards to that bigger picture.
Yeah.
How does education fit in? We have, in Iowa, we have seen a fat line regards to supportive education. Mm-hmm. You know, primary and being especially in our state, they're an expensive adventure, but at the same time,
I would agree. And I advocate strongly that we need to help students get an education. There are many kids that don't want to go on to a four-year degree, and that's acceptable. But we need vocational training. There's shortages across the board. At Broadlands, we have a teach and tech program that allows people from underserved communities come in, be educated to be a CNA, and be even you can continue that education to an RN and even further, right? We've had people in you've seen stories like this before where somebody came in, wanted to be a registered nurse, and next thing you know, they're a doctor because they got so inspired by the work they saw in front of them that they wanted to continue that education. They need support. I agree. The funding has to be there, no question about it. And I would push anybody to do that. Thanks for the questions. And again, thank you for inviting me.
trip and cut everyone off online. Well, thank you, Dave, for the, inspiring in a way, and not, I mean, some of the things you talked about weren't inspiring, but the work that you're doing is inspiring. I'm sure that you've spent all the time you spent visiting all these small towns, you could have spent the whole hour talking about that, because there's I'm sure interesting anyway. Not, and I think a small town, many small towns, they have a post office and a bar, or the minimum, if they're a town, they have to have a post office, but they have a bar. Those always survive, because where do people socialize? It, you know, they just, that's where they go. We do have a healthcare crisis in our country, and your amazing leadership at Broadlands has and will continue to benefit all of us. All of us are impacted by mental health. I mean, you see the homeless people. I mean, the majority of things that are going on with them is mental health. Your work to help Alzheimer's and dementia patients is crucial there to help our family, all the families who struggle to care for them. So your commitment to give back to the community is truly amazing, and thank you.